Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com will be with us later in the program. We will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. We got the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up later this hour as well. All that ahead. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road in charge of the text line this morning.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, a lot of you sent texts in, and I wasn't minding the store. I apologize. some of these comments I won't get to. Michael Madison, interesting point, says, what's stopping Clark Lee from turning Vanderbilt into one of the 8 to 10 big jobs that anybody else would jump on the chance to coach for? Well, I mean, it's a little bit – I mean, it is a little far from that, right? Like, let's not get carried away here. Well, look, I think college football – at a relatively small private school has been most successful where? I would say Stanford's had some good stretches, right?
That's probably my answer.
It's funny because I was actually talking to some Vanderbilt people yesterday. I'm writing about Vanderbilt this week. And, you got to always remember, as much as things have improved, and certainly Vanderbilt has successful people, they have people with money, all that stuff. Yeah, there's still a difference. Like when you talk about a huge public school that has hundreds of thousands of alums in the country, you're going to have more people, rich people, to hit up. I mean, just like a bigger high school and a way small high school. Though the bigger high school is going to have about five or six more really good athletes, and they're going to beat the crap out of the smaller high school who has one or two, right? So, I mean, like, there's still, like, some reality in place with being a small private school. But being in the SEC is a good thing. And the revenue-sharing thing, by the way, you know, that is – and I hadn't really thought about that, but the revenue-sharing aspect of that has started this year is a good thing for Vanderbilt. Now, they don't have the traditional setup with, like, athletic department is over here and the university. Like, it's – you know, again, it's a private school and it's all kind of – and people have complained for years, oh, the university took the SEC check and, you know, they made a dorm or whatever. Now it's like, I mean, this is revenue sharing, so it has actually been a really big escalator for them. But 8 to 10 big jobs in the country? You know, we're talking about decades and decades of high level of success for these programs that are in that group right now, right? And Vanderbilt, we're talking, this is the biggest stuff that's happened in a century.
Yeah, like it's really impressive what they've done and what Clark Lee continues to do. And we'll get into the Vanderbilt-Alabama matchup a little bit deeper as the week goes along here. But as I said yesterday, it's got the big game feel to it. And I don't know how many times I've been able to say that about a Vanderbilt game, but it's got a big game feel to it coming up on Saturday. So we'll see what happens on that front. Go ahead.
Real quick before we get into the next thing, Notre Dame, obviously. That's a big miss on both of them. Yes, and there's no question. So Notre Dame is the clear answer. Notre Dame also has, like, been at the forefront of college football for a century.
Yeah, I didn't even really think of them in the same.
But it's true. I mean, I think they might be a little bigger, but still, it's private school, and so there you go. That's also a special case, right? Notre Dame was like, I mean, like the nation, like America's team, or most hated team, but different deal. But yes, clearly that's the one.
So the Titans, as we know, this is progressively with each passing week more and more about the future than it is right now. And we knew that coming into the year. Like, it's always been about Cam Ward, the future. What does this team look like by the time the stadium's coming open in 2027? Now that they're 0-4 and they've lost 10 games in a row, you're even more focused on the future because, quite frankly, the present sucks. So that's where we're at with the football team right now. I have no idea by the time the NFL trading deadline comes around this year how active the Titans are going to be. You know, is Jeffrey Simmons still going to be here? Are they going to try to ship out as many people as they possibly can and recoup as many draft picks as they possibly can? By the time the deadline comes around, we'll see what that all looks like. But, like, identifying that Titans core right now, who would we say is a part of that? Who is in the Titans core right now when you're looking ahead to what this team hopefully turns into here in a couple of years. Who's going to be a part of that? Who's still going to be here? And how many of these guys are going to be playing significant roles on this team by the time 2027 rolls around and they're marching into that new stadium? So, Joe, let's just start on this front. Who would you identify as, like, if you're a, let's say they end up moving on from Brian Callahan and they go out and they're trying to hire a head coach. I mean, one of the questions the head coach is going to look at the roster and they're going to be like, okay, so who am I building around here? Like, who do they have in place that I feel pretty good about and that we could start to lay a foundation with here? Who would those players be in your mind?
Well, of course, you start with Cam Ward, and you hope so, right? I mean, I think, you know, Cam Ward, just about anything could happen the rest of this year, and he's going to be the quarterback next year in 2026. And, yeah, then after that, the way things go in this league could be different. But you start with him, and I have no idea. Again, I'm not out on him from what we've seen. I have concerns. Some of the concerns are the exact same concerns I had when I didn't think they should have taken him number one. But I'll pick him. I would go with Ayo Manor. I like him. I mean, I think right now he looks like a legit, like a heck of a pick in the fourth round.
Yep.
You got to go with Skoronski and Latham, right? Those two guys.
I assume on Latham.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah. Latham, TBD. I'd feel pretty good right now. I'd feel pretty good about predicting. Like, opening day, 2027, you know, they say they open the season at home. It's first day in the new stadium. Who's starting? Who's starting for the Titans? Core guys. I'd feel pretty good about Skoronski, Ward. I mean, Ayo Manor, I think. And I would pick Latham. You're right. We still have to find out a lot more about him. So that's the thing. So, like, there are some offensive pieces. Not enough, but at least I can come up with four.
Yeah. The Mandor will be here, right?
What's that?
The Mandor?
Mandor's still there by that time?
Oh, I would bet no. I would bet that Mandor would be closed or it'd be moved on to a shipped off to a lumberyard somewhere else. But I mean, I could be wrong, but I mean, he's under contract, but they can get out of it. Again, the problem is when I say no, then it's like, okay, so they are spending, you know, a high pick on a left tackle or they're going back in free agency.
Back in. Yeah.
But I'm going to guess no on that. Okay. And even, you know, I don't even really. There are a few veterans like who might be around, but I guess I'm thinking like who are the young guys who are going to be, and then they're starting that day, and then if you know down the road they're going to be part of it too.
Yeah,
he's definitely not in my mind. You know, will Simmons be here?
Will Simmons be good? I'll put it this way: I will be surprised if Simmons is still here in 2027, based on where they're at right now. And how far away I think they are, I'll be surprised if he's here in 2027.
So, look at that defense and tell me. I mean, yeah. I'll tell you one guy.
Did we mention Sweat?
Well, we haven't gotten there yet, but I mean, I think he has a chance.
I'm not convinced.
I'm not convinced either.
I mean,
but he has a chance.
You want him to be, yeah. Right? Like, he's a second-round pick.
He should be.
But we need to see more. Sweat than we've seen to this point.
I see him play. Cedric Gray would be a guy I'm looking at. He was terrific the other day. He's flying around. And that actually, I mean, I'm sorry, did Rand turn the stove on for a minute there? Maybe? I don't know. Well, we can't give him any credit.
Microwave.
Yeah. A little microwave popcorn? Maybe. Does that count as cooking? if you throw a little cheese on top of it when you get it out, make it your own.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Cedric Gray would be a guy. I think I'd pick him. And I mean, Roger McCreary, you know, could be. Like, I think it's probably in their best interest to try to give him a deal before the season ends, before he's like, thanks, bye. You know, as Amani Hooker, I'll tell you what, Amani Hooker, it's been struggle bus for him.
I was going to say, I don't.
It's been struggle bus.
I'm thinking about defense right now. Like, I'm sure Oladejo will probably still be there because he's a second-round pick. But I don't feel good about a lot on the – like, when you're talking about young guys moving forward, I mean they just traded one last week that maybe could have been part of that.
Yeah, I would have picked him to, like, be in the rotation at least, like one of the top four corners.
I don't feel good about a lot right now on defense.
Like, there's just
core players.
It's barren.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so it's kind of depressing. It's kind of a depressing topic. Sorry. Because I know we needed more of those. Hey!
We've been struggling to find some of those lately.
How can we make people feel really bad about Tennessee Titans? But McCreary is a possibility, and I'm with you. Like, I'm getting to the point, and it'll be interesting when we ask PK about this when he comes in, but I'm getting to the point where I think it's starting to become more likely than not that Simmons gets moved this year.
Yeah, I agree. And again,
especially if there's someone out there who actually wants to give up a first, which I have my doubts about.
It's partly that, and it's also partly him. Like, you can't convince me that he, in the back of his mind, going through this again for the third year in a row of them just being awful, is not sitting there thinking, please get me out of here. Like, and I know he's not going to come out and say that, and I'm not saying that I'm not saying he's even talking to his teammates about any of that. I'm sure he's doing all the right things, and the leadership's great and all that stuff. But in the back of his mind, there's got to be a conversation at some point where he just approaches Borgas. He's like, hey, get me out of here. Like, it's time for me to move on. Maybe I'm totally wrong about that, but I'm just trying to approach that of what I'd be thinking if I was him.
I mean, imagine the fresh of breath there he would feel walking into a different locker room given – with a chance to win.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, and he has experienced high level winning in his career here. And obviously he's a Mississippi guy, he's close to home, all that stuff, but yeah, I think he'd be all right maybe not having to deal with this Groundhog Day for a while.
So the core players, as we look ahead to when this stadium opens, who are they? How many of them are they? And how do we feel about them moving forward? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com has graced us with his presence early today on the program. Early? No contact with the police today, as far as we know.
Well, I wanted to leave some time in case it was a weekly event.
Ian, can you head over there and bail him out?
Yeah. No bailing out. Here I am. No police interaction today. I'm on a streak. New streak.
Yeah.
It's a real thrill. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Apparently people thought that you actually got arrested last week, according to one poster for our good friend DJ Burnside, with great work, as he always does. But we can confirm that Kuharski did not get arrested.
Glenn Glenno saw that picture and thought I actually my police interaction extended to being put in the back of a police car.
He's in the back of the cop car.
And my media ethics class was talking about AI slop, and I actually used that as an example of how people can be idiots in misinterpreting things.
Have you had the lesson plan yet on what to do when a coach you cover wants to beat your ass?
I don't think he wants to beat my ass. I do think we're drifting apart.
I don't know. I really liked your tweet the other day. You were like,
Brian Callahan has come to life with my question about hope.
He did liven up in that. I mean, he's been – I don't know if you guys have listened to the press conference or read the transcript. I'm sure you've
listened. No, we've enjoyed him.
I mean, he's very muted, and he actually – perked up at that question about is the building
hopeless. Hopelessness. You said the word hopelessness,
and and he perked up and said, "No, we're not hopeless. When you get to the other side of this, it's terrific." I mean, he's gotta be hopeful, right? If he's not, nobody's gonna be.
Yeah, they're screwed.
But I thought it was interesting that he kind of came to life asking that. Look. You know, Brian Callahan's a terrific guy. There's nobody that doesn't like Brian Callahan.
Nobody.
And I know people, nobody who knows him doesn't like him. So I know people
That's
don't
a bold
care
statement.
About that or want to hear about it. But to be in the position I was, you know, it wasn't that long ago where he helped me with a relentless and resilient story. And so, you know, he's feeling like, damn, you know, I helped you out with that story. And I'm feeling it too. Like, it's a little bit hard, even for me. You know, people think I'm emotionless and everything. But I'm thinking, like, it was a year and a half ago where everything was hope here. and I was asking you about your new slogans, and you helped me. You showed me pictures of those words on a wall, and here I am, and I'm sure he feels like, you know, you've turned that against me. But the fact is they've shown no resiliency and no relentless, and it's a completely appropriate question at the time and a pretty good angle that I came up with, I think. And then it evoked that response, help make it a good story, I think, at paulkuharsky.com. Now, I'm not anxious to be on Awful Announcing as a result of the way he responds. Or to
McAfee Show.
Paul Kuharsky.
I was on the McAfee Show again?
Yeah, like every week now.
was it this week again, too?
Yeah. He's just attacking Paul Kuharsky all the time.
Guy loves you.
He does.
Okay, so.
Is that Connor over there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that dude.
Okay. So I did not know. I was not aware of. So you actually wrote a story about the relentless, resilient thing.
Yeah, thanks for reading. That was my story.
That's kind of a dumb story. Tell me about the story.
So which one are you referring to? Now, when he first got here?
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't know about
back
that.
Back then,
yeah.
I wrote, you know, every coach comes in with his labels, and they've torn down Vrabel's, you know, tough and whatever it was, and put up resilient and relentless.
Do you remember what Malarkey had on the wall?
Trample the dead. And
yeah, it was like, cut their jugular and eat their spleen. I was like, geez, man, calm down. Yeah.
Would you call this cutting someone's jugular, Mike?
That was a fine story at the beginning of a coach taking.
No, I know. I just didn't know. I'm kidding. But I didn't know. I didn't know that you had actually like delved into relentless. Because it's. I mean, they all have these.
Right.
Whatever. I mean, it's.
But
just,
when a new coach comes in, you say, "Hey, this was Mike's deal. What's Brian's deal?"
So you wrote a nice story on it. And then and then you just turn it against him. It's even more of a stab in the back than I realized. Wow.
But I think it's a pretty good question because it does put him in a spot because he can't say, no, my team is showing none of the qualities that I've been promoting for 21 games.
Yeah.
But in fact, it is showing none of the qualities that he's been promoting for 21 games, which is the very problem.
I would argue that they actually are resilient to a point. They're resilient.
Yeah, they go down 26-0 and they fight back and score.
Just let me finish. They're resilient because they stink so out loud and they're still like trying to deal and be resilient amid their badness, but they're definitely not relentless.
They're resilient in their effort to be resilient.
They're resilient.
When you're this bad, that is something that you must show resilience in the face of.
Yeah.
And by showing up to work every day, I think that's resilience.
Well, by breathing, Joe says they are in fact resilient.
They continue to exist.
Check.
I like the text we got on Monday that said they are relentless in their pursuit for 0-17. They are relentlessly pursuing 0-17.
That is very true.
My conclusion, Joe, since you didn't read the piece, is that the R word they are is repetitive.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's pretty good.
Okay, a little wordplay. Yeah, a little wordplay.
PK, I know that this narrative has irritated you, so I want to start on this because I've heard from some people this week.
Sell the team. Just sell it.
Well, not that, but then we can get in that if you want to. But if you're the Titans, let's make sure this thing ends up 0-17. And let's get that number one overall pick again. Which, first of all, let me say this. I don't know that they're going to need a whole lot of help in securing the number one overall pick. So that's the first thing.
Jets aren't very good.
Yeah, the Jets aren't very good. The Saints aren't very good. But even the Saints showed some life against Buffalo. I actually somehow watched some of that game the other day. So let's start there. But a point that you've brought up, like if you're a Titans fan that's already like, please just get me the number one pick again and we'll move back from all that. That is probably going to include not very good progress from Cam Ward in the midst of all that.
They're going to have a high pick. I don't know that you have to have the number one pick.
You may as well.
But they're going to head there. I don't know that you need to be 0-17 to get it. But I think if you're rooting for 0-17, you're in effect rooting against Cam Ward and Io Manor and Winston.
Name all the other young guys who are awesome.
All the young guys. Look, if you want those guys to be core players on this team and help dig out starting next year and beyond, they need to have and feel some success this year. Some. And 0-17 does not help them in any way, shape, or form. You say, well, it helps them because they get better players to play beside them next year. The trade-off is better if Cam Ward experiences some degree of success this year and those other guys. So I just think it's very dangerous territory and not very well thought out to say that the absolute best thing for this team this year is 0-17. I think the absolute best thing for this team this year is to get a high pick, but to have some success for those guys. You got to taste it to carry over into next year.
Yeah, well, you can get the number one pick with 3-4 right. wins, right?
But I will say this.
Did. What's that? They just did.
Yeah.
But you're like, oh, high pick. But no, number one pick is different. If you have the number one pick and there does end up being a quarterback that somebody's absolutely in love with, that's how you be having number one is way better than having number two.
It is. But, I mean, I think they'll get number one if they won a couple games still. But here's the other thing. I've covered this team the whole time. There have been some terrible versions of this team. Terrible. And I've always arrived at a stadium on Sunday, at least for a couple games during the horrific seasons, thinking, well, you know, they could turn it on today. They could find something today. It's possible, you know, against this team. Or you know, there have been surprise wins where you didn't see it coming at all. Right now, I don't feel that at all. I feel like they've got zero chance to show up and surprise and win and to outscore somebody and to do something.
I'm totally with you.
Talking about the hopelessness that I asked Brian Callahan about, I have no rooting interest whatsoever. But walking into the stadiums that I'm walking into on a Sunday, I feel like there's zero chance that the Tennessee Titans do what it takes to win a football game, to come out and surprise. And you go, whoa, they drew up a good game plan for this. Or, whoa, so-and-so really had a monster day and took over this game. Or any of those things that it takes. Right now, I have a hell of a time. I know it's a long season. A lot of stuff can happen. But it is very hard for me, even with New Orleans on the schedule or whatever, to not see 0-17.
Well, there's some sunshine on a Wednesday morning.
I mean, I'm totally with you.
Real quick, I'd like to invite the listeners on the text line or phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. Give in your stuff for cars. Yeah, I want to read this one. I think this is a great point. Paul, your Yankees suck. Screw your Yankees. A whole bunch of exclamation points. Great text. Let's bring more of that energy today.
Hey, could be it tonight. You know how that feels. It sucks. I hate it. I'm in a tough position, but you know, 3 innings into tonight, things may feel differently.
Let's get even more depressing on the show.
If it's over tonight, that absolutely sucks, and I'll be in an awful, awful mood. So, I mean, if you want that, you're 9 innings away.
We'll have you back tomorrow, I guess.
But you,
Rexroad has no faith in his team whatsoever.
I mean, your team blew a 25-game lead, and they've got a 1-game lead now. What are the odds they hold on to that?
They're not high.
Good to know.
Frankly.
So, same to you.
737-1025. Kuharski with us the rest of the show. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. We do have the Rex Rant coming up at 745. All that ahead. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharski with us for the rest of the program. Talking Titans. Got the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up here in just a few minutes. It looks like the Cleveland Browns have made the move to go from Joe Flacco to Dylan Gabriel as the starting quarterback.
Who thinks that's going well? Raise your hand. No hands raised.
Which part of it?
The part where he plays.
Yeah.
I mean, you think he's going to play well?
Well, they got what? The Vikings? They got the Vikings in London. The Vikings live there now, so the Vikings will be like, oh, yeah.
We think Brian Flores isn't like doing cartwheels down the hallways of London.
What
hotel?
A heck of a first week to start. It's like, here's the most complicated defense in the NFL, Dylan.
Go
have
ahead.
Fun.
I mean, that's an awful move. You got to find a soft spot.
Maybe this is how they get Shadur in the starting lineup. Well, see, the rookie couldn't handle Brian Flores' defense. Shadur, you're up.
Hey, can I we mean,
Listen, I think Shedeur Sanders is absolutely, without question, better than Dylan Gabriel. So well,
they'll find.
I mean,
path.
My quarterback evaluation skills, I know, are amazing. But geez.
Can we go back for a second to your which Titans will be left for 2027?
Yes.
Yeah. Stilley has hate texted me that Skoronski's deal will be up. I think
no.
Skoronski
will get a new deal. Yes, he has to.
Shut up, Stilley.
They have to keep some offensive lineman, and he's way too far down.
You hear that?
On Peter Skoronski.
Shut up, Stilley.
Who's a good guard. You know, he got turned twice by Hunter, who's a phenomenal pass rusher. I mean, you have to be a Hall of Fame level offensive lineman for that guy to appreciate you. And you should stop talking about him. He's pretty much a non-entity in Nashville anymore. Kevin Winston, you forgot, because it's easy to forget him because he has no
that's
no
a good
presence
point.
Now.
That's a very good point.
But he'll be on this team.
That's a good point.
Tavondre Sweat, I would bet against him being on next year's team.
Really?
Yeah.
Next year's team.
I think that it will be a battle for him to be on next year's team.
Okay, this is that kind of stuns me a little bit.
Well, it goes back to what he's not their guy. Like who's he drafted by?
Brinker's
he's
guy.
He's not their guy.
He's Brinker's guy.
I will say this. I think for all of Rand Carthon's faults, and this maybe qualifies as a fault as well, he was very good with guys like Brownlee and Sweat and all of those guys. He knew how to kind of put his arm around them and buddy up to them and kind of get the best out of guys. I'm not saying those are the same kind of guys, but they have kind of qualities that make them maybe a little difficult for coaches and brass and whatever. And so he was skilled at helping massage and handle those kind of guys. And so then when you take Rand out of the equation and he had drafted guys who were very much his guys, another downside is he didn't do a good job with personnel. And then some of the personnel he brought in were very much, you know, I think too much generally is made of my guy, your guy.
Yep.
But in this situation, my guy needs me in order to be his best self. And now I'm gone, and those guys go off track a little bit.
So the real Rand cooking was babysitting, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
Babysitting, cook some macaroni and cheese, some chicken nuggets.
Make sure you turn the stove off when you're done.
And so, you know, you fire the GM and then you lose, you know, potentially, quote unquote, lose guys that he helped manage.
Yeah.
So in his general managing, he was managing those personalities.
General issues.
That's all
so
fine.
Winston,
but
I think
still he's like, that guy got. I mean, if he's not on the team next year, I would bet you on that.
Let's see how he looks when he returns. In terms of, is he Texas Tavondre Sweat or is he last year Titans Tavondre Sweat? In terms of commitment, fitness, dedication, work ethic, all of those things. Here's another thing about the 27 Titans in the stadium, and I think it's a very small list. Now I just forgot where it's going. Oh, I mean, you talked about Hooker. I mean, this is just how things are going with the Titans. You said it. I mean, they signed him to a new deal. He's been a steady player his whole career, and maybe he's just played the four worst consecutive games of his career. He's not tackling back there in the last line of defense.
Looks
and
bad.
All of that. Denard saying yesterday, hey, we've got to dumb this down, simplify it, which is not a bad thing, but I think they're kind of slow to get to it. Like, let's go. What's the delay? How much film do you need to discover that it's time to slow it down? And here's another thing I did with Braden Gall on my pod with him, like, who's the second best player on Titans defense right now? Off the top of your head, go.
I have no idea. Is it Cedric Gray?
I mean, Cedric Gray just had one really good game, but right now, to me, that's an outlier.
Yeah.
Let's see it again.
Who's the what player?
Second best player
defensive
on Titans
player.
Defense.
Second best.
You're going to hurt yourself.
I don't know.
Because we spent about 5 minutes trying, and
that's the thing. Like, I don't think McCreary's making mistakes too. I mean, he'd be a candidate for it, right? I guess.
But I mean, you're
coming
so far.
It should be Hooker.
It should be Hooker, but it's not.
Yeah, it hasn't been lately.
Snead. Should be Snead.
But if we're going, recent, yeah, exactly. recency bias, then I'm going Gray. Right? If you're going to say like Hooker's struggled lately, I agree. Well, I mean, Gray was good the other day, right?
Yeah.
Not that I mean he got caught in the wash and stuff like that. It wasn't a perfect game, but at least he made plays.
I think you nailed it there. Who makes plays for this defense?
Yeah.
It's Simmons, right? And then that's about it. Like they're just not making plays. That's what it comes down to with the whole team. They're just not making plays at all, which goes into what PK said last segment of it. Like, you walk into the stadium and you just feel like there's no chance they're going to win.
Exactly. Keep these comments coming on the text line driven by WilsonCunningham.com. I got another great one from Bob in Mount Juliet. Paul is stupid. How did Levis's success in 2023 help the Titans? It cost them Joe Alt. They had no success in Mariota's rookie year, which led to the trade with the Rams. We don't get that if we experience success.
The Titans,
Bob and Mount Juliet.
The higher draft pick always, always, always is better. Always. Tavondre Sweat, terrifically better than the guys drafted behind him. Unquestionably. Here's how the draft works. If you have the sixth pick, he is absolutely always better than the seventh and the eighth pick. This is why the draft order is written in stone.
It's math.
And it's proven.
It's just math.
And there's no intrigue to the draft whatsoever. And you know what no one ever clicks on? Redrafts. When you see those redrafts pieces and the number three pick in the redraft is a guy who was drafted in the fourth round, there's no intrigue to that whatsoever. Because the fourth pick in the draft was the fourth best player. And he plays like the fourth best player. He gets paid like the fourth best player. And it's always just locked in. What was this guy's name?
Bob and Mount Juliet.
Did Bob start with Paul? Paul is stupid?
Paul is stupid.
Bob is stupid.
Bob, your thoughts?
Bob?
I will be waiting for him.
We'll have the Rex rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Paul Kuharski is with us the rest of the program. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
He's bounding down, Kuharski's on his way.
I didn't expect to stand on a soapbox for Paul Kuharski today.
What would you say you do here?
What would you say you do here?
I do work here. I work hard.
I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand it?
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
And I promise I don't do drugs, but...
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Bagel, 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 tear.
Put them in reverse.
Put it in reverse, tear. Put it in reverse. Oh, Lord. Lord, Jesus.
Oh, yes. It is that time of the day. The Rex Rant brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. I think I say this every day. That may have been my favorite Ian's ever done. That was awesome.
That was beautiful. That was a smorgasbord of joy for all of us. You make it better around here, Ian, to live in a town with this professional football
yes,
team.
Yes, you do.
Tell you what.
Yes, you do.
I have a quick thing that I want to complain about, then I want us to discuss. But I don't want to forget this. Again, the text line driven by WilsonCunningham.com. Some great stuff. We've got people ask for your autograph. But, yes, seriously, use your mic. Will we have a segment today where you turn your mic on before you talk?
Well, I'm used to the producer taking care of the talent. I come from a long history of that. And
I was a little bit slow.
You want him to feed you grapes, little sandwiches?
I thought Ian and I had a relationship, but apparently it's shifting.
Well, you know, it's tricky as the producer to turn on the – you know, I want you to be ready, like, you know, just to turn it on.
I'm ready.
We're good to go.
9 years of full-time radio where I had a phenomenal producer who took care of the talent. That was our number one thing, take care of the talent.
So you're sitting there in your chair and you're like coughing or something. And he's like, well, I'm just going to turn that mic on for him because he's a little baby who can't do it for himself. That's what happened?
No, this is Rex Rhodes, the same person.
That's how I grew up in radio.
Rexroad's the same person who doesn't
took
turn
care
his
of
mic
talent.
Off after every segment.
Yeah. Rexroad turns it off every time he's done speaking because he's like, I know I'm going to do something stupid here. I can't have something stupid on here. I got to turn it off. It's like, hey, and then
I turned it off.
And then I turned it on. And then I turned it off, on, off, on, off, on,
off. Oh, my God. That's a perfect segue into this text from Phil. And it's very simple.
Phil. Okay. I love guys
Two
named
words.
Phil. They're fake.
Ready? Paul ass. We've gone from we ass to Paul ass. Thank you, Phil. Very good.
There's a large buildup for that.
I'm glad he said we ass because we indicates, you're included.
Yeah.
Because Cam Ward was bad on Sunday. Yeah. Bad.
All right, we can get into that. But I just want one thing. I want to talk about this. We also need to get into Nick Holtz and you asking him, what do you do here?
People want to know that. I've been asked that a billion times. I relayed the question.
I just want to point out, though, and maybe this is me bitter because I'm the only idiot who's like, he's not talking trash about L'Jarius Sneed last week. Although you were like, you may be right. So you were everybody else was like, yeah, he's pretty much talking trash. Regardless, can I just point out here? I know there's so many things about this team that we could nitpick if we wanted to.
You've got three hours.
There's a few things that are wrong with this team. But it really is amazing that, like, Jarvis Brownlee, and again, if there's new information, maybe you have some, Paul, maybe some you can't share on the air, whatever. But I think I have a pretty good grasp on Jarvis Brownlee and what was going on, and I get it. But accountability, culture, all this stuff, and L'Jarius Sneed still on your team.
Yeah.
L'Jarius Sneed, who is clearly not knowing what the hell the coverages are half the time out there, screwing basic stuff up that a rookie shouldn't screw up, taking no accountability, talking trash, and getting paid what he does to get that. Like, to me, what is the message you're sending when you move this young player who clearly is, is like worn out his welcome to some extent, but no, let's keep trotting out 38 and the embarrassment that he is on and off the field.
Treat different players different ways, right? Talk about that all the time based on status, history, contract, whatever.
What does he bring that's positive to the Tennessee Titans?
Well, occasionally he sticks with a good receiver and makes a good play. The hit rate isn't high enough. I think they're anticipating he's going to get increasingly better as he comes back from this knee. They're depending on him in a way that I agree with you. There's not a lot of evidence in play that suggests they should be. But I think they're still thinking that he's going to turn out to play like a number one cornerback. I agree with you. It's somewhat mystifying. The way he is with us, I mean, he's just kind of a weird dude. But I ask him about that play. I mean, I don't understand how, and Dwight from PR, is having a conversation with him pre-press conference. He knows what's going to be asked. And he's been a big-time NFL player.
Sure.
You know, if you put that crap out there early in the week, that if something goes wrong, you're going to have to speak to it.
Yeah.
So I go right there. You did the who stuff during the week, and you get beat on second and 33 really badly for a first down. How do you feel that worked out for you? And instead of squaring up to it, he says, "Is that the only play you saw?" Now that is poor.
There's no accountability. Again, it doesn't always, whatever. There's still, like, the stuff in the locker room that nobody sees. But he doesn't seem to be any sort of a leader.
He's
got to
be better in the locker room than we know. I think he's got to be better in the locker room than we know. Also, they've got so little on defense in terms of leadership and personality and guys who have any kind of pelts on the wall, even, no matter what he's doing right now. I think they think he's got some cred.
So let's bring it back again to someone who is talented, is aggressive, is kind of a dog. Yes, penalties and whatever he did. You don't think that they're like, when you weigh everything together, that maybe you should keep a guy like that around?
It's mixed messaging is what it is.
Yeah. Right. I totally see that it comes across as mixed messaging. Absolutely. I think that they should do more. And they're in a new era of PR, do more publicly to clarify something like that.
And not make Brian Callahan answer questions when he didn't do it.
Yeah. I mean, they made Mike Vrabel answer everything, but Mike Vrabel was a more powerful head coach.
He just didn't say anything about anything.
He was a big personality, and he had success. He started with success. So he had the the credibility at least to stand out there. But look, this organization, you know, to some degree has had trouble with this messaging thing throughout. And oftentimes it's not PR that's doing it. When Mike Vrabel is put out there to speak about his boss being fired with John Robinson, that's not Mike Vrabel saying, I want to do this. And I don't think it's PR saying.
And by the way, we're basically asking, Mike, did you stab him in the back?
Yeah, exactly.
Was this you? Are you who done it?
Yeah. I mean, whether or not that comes from Amy Adams Strunk, that's an Amy Adams Strunk problem.
Yeah.
And this is an Amy Adams Strunk problem. You know?
We always end up getting there, don't we?
We do.
All things come from the ultimate top. And you know, she can hide as long as she wants. I don't know why people are buying tickets to her new stadium given this. They want to see Taylor Swift very badly. But all they're buying is a chance to buy tickets to that. I don't know. If you're buying tickets, if you bought tickets to the new stadium, call us and tell us why.
Now you're going to start a firestorm.
Why?
Explain yourself.
I mean, I don't know why anybody would be spending a penny on this team going forward. And I don't know why there's not some big fan movement to unite. Not show up and not spend a penny.
Well, they're doing.
Where is that? Where is it?
Doing a pretty good job of not showing up so far for this year. Well,
Tennessee,
that's going to be bad.
Tennessee football fans are really good at expressing themselves, but when it comes to that, not. And there's still a lot of people. I mean, it's not well attended, but there's still a lot of people in there. Maybe they go to the New England game to see Vrabes and to see a bloodbath the way you go to a horror movie, but. You should not be showing up because you're going to buy a hot dog or beer, and that's money in their pocket.
Yep.
And if you have an appointment at Titans House, you should be canceling it.
There you go. 615-737-1025, our phone number.
We ass.
615-737-1025.
They should unfurl a banner, we ass.
They should. We got one more hour with PK. A lot of stuff on the Titans to get to. We will do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, The Game.